This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
A return to form, finally, from our favourite premiums, coincided with the return of Kane. Salah, Son, Bruno came up with goals, as many were conceded again. City with their 14th win in a row, the star of the show was Gundo. Liverpool couldn't get into the flow, and United's defence were a no-show. Dodgy De Gea and clinical DCL made a thrilling 3-all draw. Best defence this week was Villa. Emi Martinez with another big score. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Oh, another weekend, another high average, and it's nice to have the poetry back. I feel like that's become our USP. If you like poetry, listen to Triple Captain.
The poetry's back. Yeah, exactly. And I thought, you know, it's a bit late. We're recording in the afternoon today, so I had a bit of time to watch Match of the Day properly, make some notes, and come up with a poem. Another high average. We are Triple Captain. Just to remind everybody, we're at Triple Captain 3 on socials. We're an FPL podcast designed and structured to help you get to the top of your mini league.
I like that we always say that, but none of us are top of our own mini league.
No. I'm top of a couple. I'm top of one of my mini leagues. Two of my mini leagues, actually, now. So there we have it. I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm one of the hosts of the show, and I'm joined, as ever, by my co-host, Rich Wolfenden.
Yeah, and I'm Rich Wolfenden, another host of the show, and talk sport commentator. I'm a radio presenter, I should say, as I often get picked up for that. What did I do at the weekend? I'm trying to remember what game I did now. I did Newcastle versus Southampton.
Good game. Thrilling game.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was a proper throwback kind of match, because I don't know if you've seen the highlights to it, but there was so much standing water. Like the players were like slipping on the puddles on the pitch. The ball wasn't rolling properly. It was beautiful just to see like an old fashioned, almost like park game of football, because it was so wet. And yeah, you've got a feel for Southampton, haven't you? They just aren't having any luck this week at all, especially Jan Bednarek. But yeah, we'll get into that in a little while. Decent game week for me. How about yous?
Yeah, okay. Actually, I've got a green arrow, which is nice. 73 points could have been a lot higher, as we'll go through. As always, I had points on the bench, but yeah, it's a small green. I think the green would have been bigger if Dallas hadn't returned so highly last night. I can't complain. Last week I got 70 points. This week I got 73 points. We're back on track to hitting that target of, you know, 60 plus each week. So I'm not complaining. Fabianski with a clean sheet, which was nice. Finally, kind of covered a few of Emi Martinez's points, but he's just definitely the keeper to own. And I think that's one of my regrets this season, is not just having him from the start. James Justin, I played him. My transfers actually first. I took Soufal out and brought Lowton in from Burnley ahead of their double game week, and a cheap option there in defence, because as we know, I've been fed up with having loads of points on the bench. And I think, to be honest, I was thinking, if I'd have kept Soufal, I would have had a double West Ham clean sheet, but I would have probably benched James Justin, who got 9 points. So I'm finally getting to that stage where it's like, okay, good. I haven't got Soufal's points on the bench that I'm worried about now. So he's gone. And I also, a decision that I regretted within 1 minute of Aston Villa's first game against Arsenal. I took Ollie Watkins out for Antonio. So it wasn't a great start. I mean, as Ben said, I was the same. I fancied West Ham against Fulham, and they didn't even look like scoring. Weird. Really. It was an odd one. Yeah, Antonio with 2 points there. So not the best transfers, but I'm hoping Antonio comes back to score well against Sheffield United. I had Diaz and Stones at the back, so only 1 and 2 points there respectively. Midfield and Bamford was where it was at, really. Salah obviously returned. Gundogan with his 13 points after missing that
penalty. What a comeback.
He went from minus 1 to 13. What a comeback from Ilkay Gundogan. And what an option for FPL at that price. Bruno Fernandes got his goal. And Captain Son. I grabbed my balls this week and thought, you know what? Son's playing West Brom. I know they're in bad form. there's a chance Kane might be back. And when I saw Kane starting, I was like, okay, good, we're in here. And Son got his goal and bonus. So he was apart from Gundogan, he was my highest returner this week. So finally captain success, and Bamford also with his goal. But as always, I had Dominic Calvert-Lewin's points my bench, 12-pointer. So disappointing from him. Obviously, the right decision this week would have been to bench Souček and play Calvert-Lewin. But as we know, Souček was playing Fulham, Calvert-Lewin was playing United. I expected Souček to maybe outscore him, but it wasn't to be. And of course, Souček got sent off for 0 points. So small green arrow up to 86,000 now, which is good. We're getting there. We're getting back on track. And I'm pretty happy with how my team's set up for the next few weeks.
I mean, everything you've done on paper there before the deadline made sense. It's like you say, like Everton at Old Trafford, I think we've won twice there in the Premier League era. So we don't have a good record there. And like you say, Fulham, who was just leaking goals, I don't think anybody expected that 0-0 with West Ham. But it was the same with the Leicester Wolves game. Like, I put the captain's armband on Maddison, and I was just like, everybody apart from him pretty much delivered in my FPL team. I was absolutely gutted.
Here's a little question for you both. Which two teams had the most shots this weekend? I'm not counting the Palace Leeds game because I haven't seen the stats for that. But which two teams had the most shots on goal this weekend?
I'd say Villa.
I'd go, sorry, hello, I'm Ben, I'm the producer. I think Arsenal, like Martinez was peppered at some points. Those young Arsenal lads, I can't believe the score was 1-0 to Villa in the end. But I think Arsenal are definitely up there.
Okay, Rich, any guesses from you? So there's two teams, they both had the most shots.
I think
shots.
Man United were very much on top of us in terms of shots. That's why I play Man United up there.
With 20 shots each, Burnley and Fulham.
Whoa!
No!
You're kidding me?
Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's kind of made me think, should I be getting a Fulham player in for this double game week? I mean, they only had two shots on target out of those 20.
Yeah.
But they're having 20 shots a game. I mean, that's huge. Burnley got 7 on target out of their 20. Which, yeah, I mean, for Burnley,
that's impressive.
Their
goal was like, they had about 3 shots, didn't they, before it eventually went in for their goal. So, that's a big handful of their shots there. But that's got me thinking about double game week now. I'm thinking about maybe a Burnley defender, maybe.
Yes. Well, we are definitely going to discuss that.
Yeah.
Go back to your team, yeah. Rich. I just thought that was an interesting stat this week, wasn't it?
I mean, I'm still not going to get any Fulham attacking players, but, you know, whatever. It's a nice stat to know. So my team, I had another little green arrow. I'm glad I didn't panic and do the wild card the other week, because the little alterations I've made to my team seemingly have paid off. So I finished on 69 points, everybody's favourite score. And the average was 58. So, a little green arrow for me. Gone up about 20,000 places into 540k. So starting to squeeze that gap a little bit more. It's just nice to have a little green arrow rather than a little red arrow for a change. Mendy got me 3 points. And it looks like Mendy's back to his best. Quality own goal from Rudiger, you've got to say.
I think stick with Mendy. I think Chelsea were unlucky to concede. And I think they, on another day, they'd have got that game.
Yeah, exactly. And they're playing Newcastle and Southampton next. So, you know, there's potential there for a couple of clean sheets, I'd like to think. Then the defence, Maguire got me 1, but then I don't even remember, over the last 2 weeks, I put Justin on my bench when he scored and I had Dallas on the bench when he scored. So I just picked the wrong one each week. This week, I put them both in the starting lineup and they both delivered.
Yes!
So it came to fruition, thank God for that. Justin got me a nice big 9. Stuart Dallas got me 12. And I think Dallas is now has the second most goal involvement out of any defender in FPL. Yeah, I think it's only Cresswell who's ahead of him. I mean, he's playing in midfield, so that's probably one of the reasons why. But still, defender on the game, so it's almost like having a sixth midfielder in there. Anyway, onto midfield. So Grealish got me 2, Maddison got me 2. Unfortunately, put my armband on Maddison in that absolute drab game against Wolves. Salah delivered, Fernandez delivered 7 each. Gundogan, 13. Our teams are pretty similar, actually, now, looking in looking at each other's now, Luke. And then Antonio got me two. But I did leave Watkins in, so he got me a big nine. And the only way I could have bettered that score really was by having Adams on in place of Antonio. So, yeah, 69 points for me. And it's nice to have some points on the board. What is concerning, though, is that I got 69, and I thought that was an absolutely brilliant score. My game week rank is still 2 millionth. Like, I can't believe there's, you know, 2 million people who've had a better rank, a better score than 69. I don't know if the standard's just much higher in FPL this season or what.
I think the last few game weeks there's been lots of your kind of popular players returning again. So it, like this week, for instance, captaining Son for me, I thought great differential, particularly if the other premium's blank, but then Salah scored, Bruno Fernandes also scored. So your captain choices are all going to be fairly even. I know a few people went a little bit more maverick and maybe captained someone like Antonio or like you did with Madison, but it didn't make that much of a difference because you made up for it with players like Dallas, Justin, and Watkins and Gundogan, of course. And a lot of people have got Gundogan as well. So I think when lots of them return, the average scores are going to be higher and also around the same, because if you haven't got one, you've probably got the other, sort of thing. So I think that's what's happened the last few game weeks. It's annoying, isn't it? Because you think, oh, my players are all returning, I'm having a great week. And then you think, oh, so is everybody else.
Yeah, it's
returned.
So frustrating.
So it's not really much of a green arrow.
No, it's so frustrating because the green arrow I got the week before, because I got 89 points the week before, and that shot me up like over 150,000 places. And then I saw this score as well, and I was like, right, this one's going to be another big jump. And then, you know, it's not even 20,000, which is so frustrating. But I guess that's just the way it goes. There's always next weekend. So we say. What about you, Ben? How'd you get on?
Well, Luke, it's great to hear that you're solidly in the top 100k now, Rich in and around the top 500k. I represent the other sort of player in FPL that plays with instinct over fact and stats.
Right.
I am currently around the 2 million mark, but I did get 65 points this week.
Season of two
million,
halves.
By the way, out of
season of two halves.
It is a season of two halves. There's 8 million players, by the way, this year.
Yeah.
So I'm technically in the top quarter of all players, which I'll take for the time being.
I'm intrigued by this because, do you remember at the start of the season we were like, "Oh, there's less players than there was at the end of last season," but now they seem to have. Is it 2 million people pretty much have jumped on board since the start of the season?
There are a lot of late joiners or something. Yeah,
there must be, or maybe people are making like second teams or something like that just to have another go at it. But anyway,
before I get into my team, can I just give you some producer well done notes? Because first of all, Luke, in your introduction, you managed to touch on all three talking points that we're going to be talking about today: the double game week, on the bench, and VAR. I thought that was very well done. Rich, it's nice to see you using your profile as a TalkSport commentator to call for calm against Mike Dean after that decision that obviously sent Souček off the pitch. Can't believe what's happened.
No.
It's as if he's not working this weekend, is he? Because he's getting threats through to his home.
He's requested to have the weekend off because of concerns to his safety and his family's safety, which is just ridiculous. If you're threatening a referee after a football match or racially abusing one of the players in your team, like, you need to seriously take a look at yourself and relax, take a deep breath and, you know, think about what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not nice. It's not nice at all. I mean, we can say what we want and, you know, like on this podcast or whatever, Mike Dean isn't going to listen to this. You know, you can say what you like, but don't direct abuse at him. There's just no need, is there? I mean, the players and the managers did that at the time. You know, I'm sure David Moyes made his feelings known.
The emperor, as he was this weekend.
That was so good. I loved that meme.
But he just lived up to his name again, though, didn't he, Mike Dean? It was the Mike Dean show all over again. He somehow managed to make it about him in the United Southampton game, even though United won 9-0. He's made it about him again with that elbow. Every single person could see that was the wrong decision and that Souček didn't mean to do it. Every single person could see it. Why has he felt the need to send him off? Ian Wright called it the worst decision he's ever seen.
Ian Wright can be quite dramatic.
You know, I think, you know, when you own a player like Souček and you're thinking, okay, 3 points, he's only 5 million, he's scored a lot anyway in the past. And West Ham have got a free kick here. Suchet might pop up with a last minute header like he's done before. You're kind of thinking, okay, it's all right. And then he gets sent off. I mean, it's just, you can't write it. I mean, we're going to cover this a bit later, aren't we?
With we will. VAR.
Sorry, carry on, Ben.
We will cover that because it is an interesting one, isn't it? Like, you can't, even though they're introducing this technology, like, how, like, did you see the clip that's been going around from Australia? I know we're going to talk about this, but where it's all very, you can hear exactly what the guys in the VAR room are saying to the referee at the time. Like, the audience can, like, it's just little things like that. Why aren't we doing that? But anyway, my team, 65 points, which I was quite happy with. It would have been 71 had I not made my transfer this week because I took out Matty Cash and bought in Rudiger.
Why did you take Cash out? He was like your favourite player.
I took Cash out because he's 5 million and I wanted to free up a little bit of money down the line. Rudiger's starting every game and he did play 90 minutes again for Chelsea. Chelsea have had a great run. You know, they beat Spurs 1-0, Burnley 2-0, 0-0 at Wolves. You know, it seems like, but since the new manager's come in, they've been keeping clean sheets. So I was gutted. I didn't think that Sheffield United would score past them, but I suppose they didn't. Rudiger did, who I brought in. A lovely finish from Rudiger.
Right inside the post, right in the corner. It's beautiful.
Yeah. But I did make some good decisions. I captained Son. I've got Ollie Watkins up front, and I've got Martinez in goal. Watching that Liverpool-Man City game, I was pretty devastated because I've got two Man City defenders. Well, I had one on the bench, but Martial didn't play. So I was going to have Diaz and Stones playing. First of all, when it was very out of character, wasn't it, for that Man City defence, for that penalty. Yeah. It was a really odd moment. And, you know, straight away it's a penalty, isn't it? And of course, Mo Salah's going to bury it. I've got Mo Salah. So, you know, I covered my points sort of in that way. But then to see John Stones ruled offside, I was like, I said to Jem's sitting there, because obviously when I got the football on, she's not massively into it. So she's there reading a book. I'm trying to talk to her about the football. She's just going, yeah, babe. Oh, wow, babe. Well, not really paying any attention. I said to her, as soon as that Mo Salah penalty went in, I was like, right, need a goal fest now. Need big John Stones up there. I couldn't believe it when he finished that. Couldn't believe it. And of course, slightly offside. So one of those weeks where happy with 65, but when you're watching it, you just see these little swings in the game. You're just like, oh, that's bad for me. That's bad. Yeah, that's bad for me.
He's still a bit of a differential, John Stones, isn't he? He's owned by 20%. I thought it was less than that.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the top 10K ownership, it's fairly low. Live FPL have got a great feature now where they pick out players in terms of their percentage of ownership, and if they're a differential, it puts a little star by their name, and it says this player could really boost your rank. And if you've got a highly owned player, it's kind of they probably won't boost your rank that much. And then there's other players that might affect your rank, sort of thing. So it's a really, really kind of useful tool. And John Stones had a little star by his name for me, so I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting that he's a bit of a differential around that top 10K mark. But I've just seen 20%, not that much anymore. But yeah, he got a goal threat, hasn't he, old Stones?
He does. I mean, I've got Mahrez as well, and he ended up on 2 points. And I was really delighted. After he played last week, I was delighted to see him start. But it was the Phil Foden show, wasn't it? Unbelievable performance.
So I was in the car, I was listening to Man City v Liverpool, and they were talking to John Murray, the Five Live commentator, and Robbie Savage was just saying to them, there's not one player. Everybody in this Manchester City team is probably in the best form they've been in for the best part of a year, apart from Mahrez. And I thought, oh, Ben's got Mahrez.
Yeah, I've got Mahrez. He was completely left out of the game, Mahrez. Completely left out. He was just floating up and down the right wing, not really doing much at all. But, I mean, when you've got a player on the pitch like Phil Foden, and he performs like that, I mean, does it make you excited about the Euros or what? Like, Harry Kane with Phil Foden and Jack Grealish behind him. My God, it's going to be amazing. What did they say in our lads group, Rich, about he's definitely going to start Jadon Sancho and
Mason Mount.
And Mason Mount over Grealish. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to happen, isn't it?
100%.
But yeah, I mean, fair play to Phil Foden because what a game.
That goal was beautiful as
what
well,
a game
it?
For him. Oh.
How did you, the rest of your team do?
Oh, so yeah, Martinez 9, Diaz and Stones 1 and 2, Rudiger with a big fat 0, Soufal with a 6, Salah 7, armband on Son 20, got Fernandez and Mahrez, and then Antonio and Watkins up front, which was 65 points. And luckily, the only player I had on my bench, Patricio, goalkeeper, got an 8, but obviously Martinez got 9. The rest of my bench did absolutely nothing, but that's something we are going to talk about because there are a lot of benches on Twitter this week where you just wince as soon as you see it. Oh
yeah, so we're going to talk about benches, VAR, but first we're going to talk about next week's double game week.
Yes, so double game week time. It's a double game week this week. It's a double game week in 25, and it's a double game week in 26. Obviously, the double game week in 26 isn't confirmed yet. We've got kind of the likelihood of most teams, I think, having a double, but we'll talk about that next week. Let's focus for now on best options for this double game week and game week 25. So let's start with City, shall we? We've got for this week, we've got Man City, we've got Burnley, Fulham and Everton have all got double game weeks this week. So let's go through each team and pick out our best options if there are any. So City, let's start with City. At the moment, I've got Diaz, Stones and Gundogan. Mm. I've got my three slots filled. There's next to no chance that I'm going to change that around.
Really?
I don't think I should bring anybody else in. I don't think I should take anybody else out there. I think I'd rather focus my transfers elsewhere. I've got my three City. I'm confident in Diaz and Stones keeping clean sheets. I mean, I hope they don't as a United fan, of course, but I'm confident that they're going to keep clean sheets. Gundogan's in the form of his life. What about you? There are other options.
Well, there are other options because I only have Gundogan at the moment, and obviously I'm looking to get double Manchester City in, but I don't think I quite have the money in the bank to do so, which is quite frustrating. I've got 3 million available, but Shea Adams, I've been waiting to get rid of him out of my team for so long. Just 5.8 million just sat there on the bench every week. So frustrating. So I was looking maybe at Gabriel Jesus. The only reason I'm looking at Jesus is because the only reason I'm not considering Jesus is just because he's so much money, and there's a likelihood that he's not going to start. Like, he didn't play, he didn't start against Liverpool, did he? But you'd expect him to at least start one of the next two games in this double game week, because he's been in decent form. He's not been in an amazing form, but he's been in decent form, so I'd seriously consider Jesus. The only other real option, attacking-wise, who I'd consider bringing in is Raheem Sterling. I think he's a top goal scorer for Manchester City this season. And just going back to what you were saying about differentials, I think he's a differential, you know. 12.5% owned Raheem Sterling in the form that Manchester City are in. Like, I'm surprised that he's not been picked by that many people. I don't know why that would be, really, considering how great they've been.
Yeah, and I think with Sterling, I think he's probably there, along with Gundogan, he's a really good option for this double game week. He looked great against Liverpool. He got his goal finally against them, and was making excellent runs into the box. He won the penalty that, of course, Gundogan missed. City so bad at penalties, aren't they? They've only scored 3 out of their 6 this season.
They need to get Edison on him, mate. He's the second best penalty taker after Kevin De Bruyne. Well, that's what Pep
said.
Yeah,
he said it again the other day.
Yeah.
I would love to see Edison on penalties. That would just be so good. Can you imagine the points?
Just in case he missed it and then we have to see him sprint back to his own 6-yard box.
But yeah, they look great, don't they? I mean, they only had 8 shots against Liverpool, but their XG was 3.54. That's a huge XG. And obviously they're quite reliant on they weren't reliant on it, but Alisson made quite a few howlers, didn't he? Which added gloss to the win. But yeah, I mean, maybe it is now the time to go with 2 attackers. I think you definitely need 3 City for this double game week.
Yeah.
You know, Spurs and Everton, not the greatest fixtures on paper, but it's City. They've won 14 in a row. They're absolutely on fire, aren't they? And I think with Sterling, obviously the problem is the rotation risk, isn't it? But they've got the game on Saturday at 5:30, and then they don't play again until Wednesday night. So that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and most of Wednesday that they've got to rest. So there may be less rotation than normal, but you've always got that risk, haven't you, with them?
I think the thing with Manchester City is, if you take Sterling out, who then is the main goal threat? Jesus, who isn't too prolific for a striker. I mean, Bernardo Silva's...
Silva's a great... When Silva's on it, like, yeah, he's a great goal scorer. And I like it when they start.
No, I rate him, but he's not been particularly prolific this season. I mean, he's only got one goal and three assists. Granted, they've all came in the last few weeks.
They all chip in.
That's the other thing to say about Foden. Is he started? He wasn't a midfielder. He started fully up front.
He's a striker. Yeah. I mean, but then Foden's always been a rotation risk, though, hasn't he? And with two games in the space of a week, you could see him being dropped for one of them.
Yeah, you could.
But at the same time, do you do that to a player who's just had a game like that?
Guardiola does.
Yes, that's what Pep does all the time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
They all chip in with goals, don't they? Yeah. I mean. Yeah, whoever's there, the trick is catching the players that are on form or that are about to bang, and quite often you know it's tricky to catch who that is. So I think really you've got to have Gundogan in there, haven't you?
Gundogan is the absolutely nailed on one you've got to have. I mean, 5.7 is he? Oh, he's six now. Jesus,
he's six now. The most nailed options really are Diaz, Stones, and Cancelo at the back. So I'm really happy with my double City defence and Gundogan. I don't feel the need to rip up my team for Sterling just yet, especially as Gundogan's on such good form. If I didn't have double City defence, I'd probably look to get to double City defence rather than place all the onus on their attack. Can you get to a defender, Rich, with your two frees?
The options, what I could do, I could bring in Cancelo and Silva. That transfer would be Madison out and Robertson out for those two. It's a close call, I think, with that one, because Madison can be absolutely brilliant on his day. Robertson can as well, although we haven't really seen it. But I don't know. Silva looks good, but it's just Sterling is just edging it slightly. But the 4 million difference or whatever it is a lot of money. And I think I'd still get quite a lot of value out of Silva in the double game week.
And you wouldn't want to do Salah to Sterling, Robbo to... Cancelo.
That's a big gamble, isn't it?
It's a gamble. Salah's got Leicester, but it depends on money. Like, have you got money tied up in Salah, or if you sell him, can you buy him back?
No,
at the same
I've not
price?
Got that much money tied or up not? In him. I've got him at 12.6 at the moment, or 12.7 now. So I could get rid of him.
So you could go to Sterling and then bring him back when the fixtures change. This is what I'm thinking along. I'm thinking along these lines now, and I think we've got to the stage in the season where you can attack the fixtures a little bit more and focus on. I mean, I read a great article actually on Fantasy Football Scout by a guy that's in the top 1K, Andy from Let's Talk FPL, I think it was, and he was saying that instead of focusing on defender transfers, he's focused on bringing in and out the premiums and not having too much value tied up in them, so he can attack the fixtures when they're good. So, which I quite like, but obviously, if you haven't got any City defenders right now before a double game week, you kind of need to get them in. But I'm kind of thinking along those lines now. Unfortunately, I've got a lot of value tied up in players like Salah and Bruno Fernandes, but I haven't got any value tied up in Son. So I'm thinking I could move Son out this week, get a player like Rashford in who's got West Brom, attack that fixture, then bring Son back, or bring in Kane, you know, something like that for just attacking those fixtures.
In terms of just Manchester City assets, then, if you had like a blank slate and you wanted to bring in Manchester City players, would you go Gundogan top, Sterling second, and then Cancelo third?
If I had a blank slate.
Yeah, if you were wild carding, for example.
Yeah, I'd go Cancelo, Diaz, and Sterling. I don't know. I think you can't go without Gundo now.
Yeah, that's it. I think he's that's it. He's the player who he's going to be starting, and he looks great. And you know what? What I loved about Gundo, I haven't got him at the moment. I have had him previously, is that any other player who misses a penalty like he did, because it was awful, wasn't it? Like sky high. But that would affect the rest of the game. He's come back and he's scored. Is it two goals did Gundo get?
Like 2 yards out.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on. Like, he's the first player on the team sheet at the moment. And while I think it'll be interesting what happens when KDB comes back, but for the time being, it's got to be Gundogan.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be the captain as well, for me.
Yes, me too, I think. I briefly hovered over Diaz captain, but I think Gundogan's a better option. After that performance against Liverpool, you think, He's a great captain option.
His goal scoring form is ridiculous. Considering you just got to get on the back of these players. If a player's in goal scoring form, back them. You've got to do it. That's why I couldn't believe you took Watkins out, because he's been in such good form.
Yeah, I know. It was to be honest, it was my kind of fairly new strategy, trying to attack the fixtures, and saw Antonio was playing Fulham and then Sheffield United, and Watkins had Arsenal, and then who have Villa got next? Arsenal and then
Brighton away.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I thought Antonio is probably going to do better than him, and I fancied West Ham, but it didn't work out. Yeah, but yeah, I should have kept Watkins in. Really, in summary, I think don't get Jesus and work on maybe getting a City defender in there.
Yeah, you're probably right. To be fair,
yeah, is the time for double City defence going though? Fixtures now, obviously in the double they got Spurs and Everton, which we talked about, but then they got Arsenal, West Ham, Man United, Fulham, Wolves, Leicester. I don't know. I think it feels like tricky.
Definitely have one. I'd say definitely have one. I'd keep Diaz in there for sure. Because he's like the nailed on starter now anywhere. Whereas I feel like Stones could be dropped for Laporte. Or, you know, even if Ake comes back to fitness, he might get a game in there as well. but I think Diaz is going to be like the Van Dijk for Man City now, isn't he?
Because looking at their clean sheets from game week 14, yeah, Southampton, Newcastle, Brighton, Crystal Palace, the Villa, West Brom, Sheffield United, Burnley. They're all a lot of teams that you go, I can see Man City keeping a clean sheet against them, even when they're not in amazing form. I think the time of double City defence, I don't know whether to roll with it for this week, just to give it, because, I mean, it brings us on to Everton, Rich.
Everton had a tough one because we're in all right form at the moment. Manchester United were better than us at the weekend, and we just I don't think we got lucky. I think we just played it quite well tactically, and we got fortunate with the goal at the end, definitely. But James Rodriguez has kind of rediscovered his form. The only thing that you risk with Rodriguez is his injuries. I know he's 7.7 million, which isn't too expensive. I think he got dropped actually a couple of weeks ago as well. But he scored against Leicester, scored against Manchester United. He's always involved in the creative things as well. Unfortunately, he tends to be the man who assists the assister. So he doesn't always get the bonus points for that. But he looks really good, and he stands out from everybody in terms of going forward. I mean, his goal at the weekend was like absolutely beautiful. Superb finish. So I'd consider Rodriguez, and he's on set pieces for us as well. So yeah, if you were looking for an attacking option at Everton, it would definitely be him. But another guy who, for me, might just be a little bit too expensive is Luca Dean. He's the highest assisting left back in the league, or full back in the league, I should say, this season. But he just plays like a left winger. He gets so far forward. He puts so many balls into the box for Calvert-Lewin and co. But yeah, 6.1 million. I think he's the same price as Cancelo or Diaz. You have to look at who's going to get more clean sheets over the next few weeks. And you've probably got to say Manchester City over Everton. That's the only thing that kind of takes it away for me. But yeah, those are the options. And then, of course, you've got Calvert-Lewin, who seems to be back in form. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like Everton are properly at their best right now. And I think if you're investing in players for this double game week, you should definitely be doing it for Manchester City rather than Everton, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I think if you've already got three City, Everton are your next best bet, aren't they, in terms of this double? I mean, I guess you've got to think, is Calvert-Lewin going to outscore one of your other strikers with those fixtures, Fulham at home and City at home? You'd imagine he's not going to score against City if we're thinking, you know, in terms of form and all that stuff. So you're probably going, okay, 2 points against City. There's a chance he scores, of course. And then he's got that game against Fulham, and Fulham restricted West Ham to one shot on target this weekend. Yeah. So, you know, are they the best two fixtures? Possibly not, but I'm glad I own Calvert-Lewin, and I'm definitely keeping him, of course, for this double. I don't think I'm going to get in any other Everton player though.
I think Fulham, historically, I think I might be right in saying we've never lost to them in the Premier League at home. So we tend to do quite well against them, but this is a mad season where away teams are doing better than home teams. Do you know, in the history of the Football League, the team which have won the league have never had a better away record than they have at home. In the history of the Football League, but this, you know, this season's a different one to every single one that has gone by. But if you were to put money on anyone scoring against Manchester City for Everton, it would be Calvert-Lewin, just because, you know, we're going to play on the counter-attack, and Calvert-Lewin's got pace and he can get in behind. And he's also a threat on set pieces as well. So I don't think it's a bad idea to have Calvert-Lewin in this weekend at all. I probably won't bring him in, but if you've got him, I definitely wouldn't be getting rid of him.
Yeah, good. So Calvert-Lewin and James and Dean as possible risky kind of differential punts there.
Yeah, they'd be the three. Or if you wanted a goalkeeper, Olsen, 4.5. Pickford's going to be out for a while. I mean, he hasn't got any studs on his boots, I don't think. But, you know, he's an option in there.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts, and we want to make yours. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk now, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
What about Burnley then? So Burnley have got Crystal Palace and Fulham, two nice fixtures on paper. Should we be looking to bring in a Burnley defender? We're surely not looking at Burnley attack, are we?
Hang on, most shots in the Premier League was that the weekend?
Most shots, yeah. But, I mean, who would you pick? I guess McNeil would be maybe your only kind of option, and that would be a punt, wouldn't it, bringing someone like McNeil in when there's other midfielders, yeah. So many other midfielders around his price doing well at the moment.
Burnley have got a player called Mancini. He's not, like, related to the old City manager, is he? He's called Anthony Mancini, so he probably is.
Who knows?
Probably a local like Burnley. They got 4.4 million, Mancini.
Also 4.4 million is Lowton, who I've brought in. Just a cheap option, and he can stay on the bench after this double game week. But I'll be playing him for those fixtures. I think they've got a good chance of clean sheets against Palace and Fulham. Obviously, Nick Pope in goal is another good option from Burnley. And Tarkowski and me... I've got a bit of a goal threat as well. If you can afford a little bit more money to go there, and Charlie Taylor might be back from injury too.
Well, yeah.
So I think having a one Burnley defender this game week is a pretty good
there
strategy.
There is. I need to read up about when Taylor's returning, because I like Peters at the moment. He's 4.3 and he's starting every game at left back, and he was having a couple of balls into the box. I think he got an assist the other week as well, and I think he was actually involved in the Burnley goal against Brighton at the weekend. So out of the Burnley players, I'm tempted mostly by Peters, which is bizarre. I brought him in last season and he got me a load of points towards the end of the season. So maybe now's the time to bring him in as well. I think he might be their corner taker as well if he starts.
Yeah, I think you just got to check on Charlie Taylor. You don't want to bring Peters in for then Taylor to come back and him not to play in the double game week. But yeah, I think players like that, you know, it depends. If you're planning on wildcarding soon, for instance, bringing in players like that isn't too bad for a couple of weeks punt, because then you can take them out on a wild card. So, yeah, I think Burnley defence is a good way to go.
What do you reckon about Matej Vidra? He started the last two games. He played 90 minutes in the last two games. Only 4.8 million. That's pretty cheap for a striker who's starting and playing 90 minutes in the Premier League.
Yeah, I just would never bring him in.
All right, well, let's move on. Who's the other team? Who's the other team we were playing then this weekend?
Fulham.
Only Luckman's worth a look, isn't he?
Very nice.
Like there's no one else who's looking. Like, I thought he did. He had a couple of good chances actually. Luckman.
Yeah.
He's kind of up. He's up and around the goal.
Yeah, he's decent.
Who have they got? Burnley and Everton.
Yeah, they got Burnley and Everton, but then they've got Sheffield United at home and Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Before two very difficult weeks with Liverpool and Man City. But then Leeds, Villa, Wolves, Arsenal. I think for a few weeks, Fulham have actually got the nicest fixtures they've had in a while.
Yeah,
they have. They just can't score goals at the moment, can they? That's the problem. But as we said, they had 20 shots against West Ham. If they keep that up, then maybe they will, and perhaps you're hedging your bets a little bit by having Luckman in there, because if anybody is going to score, it's probably going to be him, isn't it? And Everton can't really keep clean sheets at the moment. Burnley, you'd imagine there'll be a trickier prospect to break down. But I wouldn't be against it. If you've got that money there, and it's a bit of a luxury move, isn't it? It's a bit of a luxury punt, really, to have someone like Luckman in there. But he's got to be their best option. Areola would be the other one I'd pick as the goalkeeper. But
just for the save bonus.
They don't keep many.
They get peppered, don't they? And he's actually half decent. Areola, I rate him as a goalkeeper. Signed him for Dusseldorf on FIFA a couple of years ago, and he got me to the Champions League. So he's a good goalkeeper, Areola. probably wouldn't bring him in though. He's better value all
that. Great. Is that kind
just,
of
just go on, man. A quick one about these then. Do we know who's got the extra fixture in 25 yet?
Yes. Game week 25. I was just about to say, yeah, we've got Leeds and Southampton have got a double in 25. So let's quickly talk about, should we do Leeds first?
Yeah. Leeds. Yeah. I mean, they just have so many players who score goals, don't they? It's kind of a guess at who's going to score every weekend for them. But, you know, the guy who is going to score for them is Patrick Bamford. And I think at 6.7, he's by far and away probably the best value striker in his price bracket, really. 130 points he's on. It's insane.
Wow. I think his starting price was 5.5 million as well, wasn't it?
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
It might have been six, I don't know, but it was a low starting price, wasn't it?
Yeah. And
yeah, he's carried on with his form. The other option that I like and that he always seems to be involved in everything is Rafinha, who you've owned previously, Rich. I'm actually thinking about maybe bringing him in for Son in order to have the funds available to then move a striker up to Harry Kane for when Spurs fixtures get a bit nicer over the next few weeks and with Kane back. I mean, Kane or Son is kind of much of a muchness, but I think there's better value to be had in midfield than there is strikers at that price. So I think that I'm maybe thinking Rafinha is a good option for the double. I've got Bamford already. Mm. I'm probably not going to bother with Dallas because I feel like I'm chopping and changing my defenders too much. But he's a great option as well, isn't he, for that double game week?
Yeah. The only worry with Dallas for now is the injury to Phillips. So I've got a feeling if Phillips is going to be injured for a while, that Dallas might play that holding role. And we've seen him playing slightly ahead of Phillips in a bit more of a creative role. So if Phillips is out for a couple of weeks, Dallas could be a bit more of a defensive option again, which isn't so great. But defensive options at Leeds, what's his name? He had three headers against Palace, which he could have scored with them all as Pascal Strike. He's not a very good footballer, but he's 3.9 million and he's playing 90 minutes.
3.9? Yeah,
and he's playing 90 minutes every week. Leeds aren't going to get many clean sheets this season, but if they got a double game week, you know, he might pop up with a goal. You know, at worst, he's probably going to get you 4 points. So Pascal Strike, if you want a really, really cheap bench filler for the rest of the season, but bring him in for this double game week, then he's your guy. But yeah, Rafinha. He's stepped it up this season, hasn't he? He seems to all of a sudden be the one who's head and shoulders above everybody else in that midfield for Leeds. I mean, what's he done there? 3 assists and 2 goals in 4 matches. That's pretty good for somebody who's 5.3 million.
He's one of those players, isn't he, he's exciting to own because he has a lot of the ball, he has a lot of chances. Where someone like, you know, I can't remember who I was listening. It might have been Adam that said it, I can't remember, but someone I was listening to recently said, you know, there's a difference between owning somebody like Callum Wilson to somebody like Rafinha,
yeah,
where you're watching the game and you're excited that your player's on the ball, whereas someone like Wilson is like, he's still going to score points, but he's boring to watch. And he's probably only going to pop up once or twice, whereas someone like Rafinha, you think, yeah, he's exciting to own, isn't he? So I think I'm probably going to bring him in for that double in 25.
Could we just give a quick shout out to the Sport Bibles admin who put up the comment, could someone please remind Rafinha that Gary Cahill has a family?
That was beautiful.
For that little turn and Megs. Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Oh, dear.
I mean, do we quickly do Southampton? I mean, yeah. Look, Minamino? He's got on the score sheet since going to Southampton.
Yeah, he looks really good for them. He's their only real creative option behind Ward-Prowse. I think Armstrong's out for
who? That free kick.
Oh, wow. Have you still got him, Ben?
I mean, I did see someone say, no, I dropped him. Giving him a free kick is like giving another player a penalty. I think he's got 4 direct free kicks this season now.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, God, looking at Southampton's squad. Poor Kane Ramsey. He's on -3 for the season. He only played in that Man United game.
Oh no. Fella.
But I did the Southampton game the other day and I think 7 of their 9 players were aged 18 or younger, all academy players. So Southampton are down to the absolute bare bones and Danny Ings isn't scoring. I mean, you'd be a brave man.
They've got tricky fixtures. They've got Chelsea, who are obviously improving a lot under Tuchel defensively, and then they've got Leeds away. You'd expect them maybe to score against Leeds, but yeah, you're right, Rich. I think you'd be a brave man to bring any of them in, really. I think with Minamino, you want more consistency from him. I kind of wish he'd been there for four or five games rather than just the one to make that decision. So yeah, I think I probably won't be bringing in any Southampton for game week 25. Yeah. And of course, next week we'll have much more information in terms of game week 26 and how we're going to attack that double. I mean, hopefully for us that have already played bench boost and free hit, that most of the teams available will have a double game week anyway. So we won't need to kind of go, oh God, I need to bring in this player and take a load of hits. I'm hoping that most teams will get a double in 26 so we can keep the bulk of our squads. But it's going to be interesting, isn't it? And I'd say, obviously, save your transfers as much as you possibly can. But obviously, also, you need to bring in players this week who have got doubles. But I guess the thing is, don't rush to bring in players, you know, like more than one Burnley or Fulham or more than one Everton.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any need to kind of pack your squads with these extra players, is there?
Absolutely not. And be patient this week, by the way, because there is FA Cup midweek. So teams could pick up injuries and knocks and that sort of thing. So wait until close to the deadline to play things a little bit safer. That would be my advice.
Boys, we're running out of time. We did say we were going to talk about on the bench and VAR. I mean, do we just quickly sum up VAR with we all hate it and wish it would
go
forever?
VAR, awful. Go away.
Yeah. And they'll say, what was the worst bench you saw this week? I saw someone on Twitter who had the bench Martinez, Justin, Dallas and DCL.
Wow.
Can you... But that's nearly 50 Jesus. Points on the bench this week. If you had a bad week, at least you didn't bench four players who all had stunning returns.
This is the thing. You don't mind too much if there's only one. Like if your first sub, for instance, scores high and the rest don't. It's like, well, you need at least one good, strong bench player because just in case of, you know, the madness of the season and all that. But yes, a lot of it is the hangover from the bench boosts, isn't it? And people being left with players that really they'd rather play. And you've got that headache. I've had it every week. Who do I play? Who do I bench? Slowly but surely, I'm getting rid of that that dilemma. But I've still got it, you know. Like this week, for instance, I don't know whether to play Robertson away at Leicester or bench him again and play Son against City, or do I take Son out? And I've also got Suchek in there, who's got Sheffield United at home, and James Justin. Justin plays Liverpool at home, so he's fairly easy to bench him. But I've still got that headache each week. You just got to roll with the punches, I guess, and deal with it as much as you can. And I know I keep saying I'm going to get Robbo out, but I've had other like transfers to make. And really now I just think I don't need the money elsewhere because of all the extra money we've got spare at the moment. I might as well just keep him. I don't know. Is there any point in getting rid of it?
Start like, charging him
probably
rent.
Not.
He's been there for so long now.
he's been there since day one. So I think now it's like, well, I'm in now. I might as well just keep him. Yeah. Liverpool's fixtures do get better after this Leicester game. So I think now I'm maybe stuck with Robertson. transfers and captains, boys. What are we doing?
Gundo, captain.
Yeah, Gundo and captain, and probably going to bring in...
I think I concur.
Probably going to bring in Sterling, I think. He's top of the list.
We joked about this a few weeks ago. It's got to be done.
Can't believe we're calling him Gundo.
Captain Gundo.
I think it has. The only other consideration for me is that United play West Brom. West Brom are the worst defence in the league. United are right back on it attacking wise. Defensive, don't go near them, as I said on the last pod, and lo and behold, conceded three goals against Everton. But attacking wise, I'm thinking about maybe bringing in Rashford for this fixture to double up with Fernandes. They are captain options as well, definitely. But City have got two fixtures. We'd probably be mad, wouldn't we, to not captain Gundogan this weekend.
Yeah, I think we'd be stupid to miss out on that opportunity. So here we go then. Big double game week. Best of luck, everyone.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
All
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all
full
lost,
progress.
which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.